Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day. And today's feature is episode 97 with Jimmy Woodard. And in this episode, he's going to be talking about what his first process was like in short-term rentals, what he did to get it going, and just what the first time was like. So let's get into it. Jimmy Woodard from episode 97. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day. Let's get into it.
So when it came to the idea and once the company was started and it's like, okay, we want to get our first property to do this on, how did you land on that first location for the first short-term rental?
That's actually a funny story, because when we started looking at properties, our first thought was Disney World, Orlando. As you think about it, that's one of the top tourist destinations in the entire country. We were very, very close to getting an offer accepted. But then this thing that we all know called the pandemic happened, and it was literally the same week that we put in an offer, the world turned upside down. And we had to scramble and go back. Now, remember, this is March of last year, 2020. So the entire business model came to a screeching halt. So at that point, we were thinking, what do we do? Because no one's going out. No one's traveling. How would we even make money from this business? But what we realized is that over time, people started to get anxious about going out. And so we found out that what we call drivable distance vacations really took off towards the latter half of 2020. And us being from the Bay Area, Lake Tahoe is one of the top destinations for a lot of people in the Bay Area. And we saw the numbers were playing out. So that's where we decided we're going to plant our flag in terms of our first cloud castle on the platform. There's a crazy backstory even to getting that, but that's the basic idea of why we chose Lake Tahoe for our first property.
Got it. And at what point last year were you able to get the first property?
But we got it in August of 2020. Now, going into that crazy story, as you can also probably remember, bidding wars, which are still happening even in 2021, were in full effect. Even if we wanted a property, even if we had the funds to, because we bootstrapped our first property, we got outbid on four straight properties before we found the one that we found. Wow. And the only reason we even got that one is because of another startup in the real estate space called Fly Homes. I would recommend anyone listening to this, go check them out, either for your own personal property that you're thinking of buying, or if you're looking to get into real estate and you might have the funds and want to do it on your own. These guys are amazing, because what they do is they turn your conventional offer into an all cash offer. They weren't even in Tahoe at the time that we were looking, but I cold emailed the founder of this company and he agreed to help us out because he saw we were trying to build our own business as well. And so we weren't even highest bid. Wow. That was the crazy part. You know, I think we ended up bidding 30K over the asking price. Someone ended up bidding 45K over, but because our offer was all cash, it got accepted. And that led to our first launch of Cloud Castles. So, you know, these are the tricks that we learned along the way in terms of being scrappy to get our company off the ground.
Definitely, definitely. And so one thing I wanted to ask about, so with properties, right, typically, it's more or less straightforward. You have a single family home, multifamily, whatever. You have your mortgage, you have your rental income, expenses. It's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I imagine with the short-term space, specifically with, you know, shares and all those things, it can get a little more complex. So can you talk about, I guess, in the planning phase and just figuring out how to financially model this whole thing? Like, what was that process like to figure out, okay, if we get this property, these are the amount of shares that are available. This is kind of the analysis. Here's how we figure out if we can be profitable. What did that look like for you all in the beginning?
Yeah, for us, we actually started from the timeshare model, which is a dirty word, one that we don't even talk too much more about at this stage in our company. But we thought that most people would want to stay in the property and that was going to be the big thing. Mm-hmm. But the more that we talked to our early users, who were a lot of family and friends, they all told us we actually care more about the investing side. And so that's when a light bulb went off that, hey, maybe if we focus on cash flow, then that's going to attract people to this platform. So when we looked at the numbers for Tahoe, you know, based on what we put in, that's how we came up with the share price for the specific property. And so it really was a combination of course, the asking price, closing costs, and any renovations that we put into the property. And that helped us determine, all right, this is what we're going to charge on a price on a share basis. So that if you come onto the platform, it may look small. So, you know, you're talking a couple bucks for a share. But in that sense, that helps you see that, wait a second, I can own this asset, but I don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to do so. And then from our perspective on the business side, that creates a flywheel. Because if we sell out our shares, now we can take those funds and then put it into the next property, which is how we acquired Miami. And at the end of the day, the last piece of our business model that's important to us is we're aligned with our investors. Mm-hmm. So rather than being a property management company that takes 20 or 30% of your gross revenue, we retain 20% of the asset. So we don't make any money unless the property profits. And we know that that's going to help us better serve our customers who are on the app.
Got it. So the users, those with the shares, they get 80% of the cash flow and you all keep 20?
That's correct. So if we had all of our shares bought out, then 80% of those shares would be towards our retail investors. And then we would retain the last 20%.
Got it. It's a very interesting business model. And what I like about it from what I'm hearing is, you know, it seems like y'all are playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is because it's an 80-20 split, right? So, you know, the investors, those who buy the shares, they keep 80, you keep 20. Can you talk more about that and why that is the approach that you're taking at this point in time?
Yeah, you know, we know in startup land, there's a lot of boom and bust around not making any money, which means you don't determine your own future. Part of when we were designing this app and this platform was trying to figure out how do we stay lean and how do we control our own destiny? And that goes into us actually being profitable, which is not something that you see too often with early stage startups. So from the beginning, we wanted to create a model where we're not just making money off of transaction fees, which is great for some companies. You know, Stripe is a $1 billion business. But we also want to be able to retain ownership. So if we ever sell the property, then we take part of the proceeds. And then also, again, going back to aligned incentives, we want to be aligned with our investors. So we want you to feel confident that we are looking to make money from this so that if we make money, you make money as well.
Definitely. Love it. So the first property was in Tahoe. I actually went to Tahoe this past summer, first time.
Nice.
Amazing. Had a great time. Hopefully next time I can stay at your spot.
That's right. Come on through, man. We'd love to have you.
Definitely. So I would love to hear about Miami, because Tahoe to Miami couldn't be more opposite. So tell us more about Miami. And just, you know, what was it about Miami that made you feel, all right, this is a great place for the second property?
Well, at the end of the day, we always have our own internal hurdle rate of trying to get to 20% cash on cash return for our investors. That's the lens that we look through any investment. We may not always reach that hurdle rate, but that's kind of our goal, is that bare minimum, if you get on this platform and you're looking for a return, we're going to do our best so that you know that your money is working for you with Cloud Castles. But then there's this other tug and pull that even to this day, we're looking at a couple other markets to get our next property right now. It's the balance between sexy versus cash flow. So it's very great when you can get both. And that's where Miami came in. But sometimes you choose cash flow versus it being a sexy property where everybody wants to be a part of. So for Miami, it worked out because we had our eyes on it ever since we heard about the boom that was going on in terms of the land grab in Miami. And, you know, appreciating assets is something else that we definitely look at as well. So we saw that Miami was a very hot spot, and it took us a while. You know, we spent probably 4 months looking through properties. My partner was boots on the ground in Miami before we found one that checked all the boxes. But it has been doing really well for the initial couple months here since we launched in August. And we hope that we can continue to find more properties that, number one, we know there's good cash flow. But also number two is something where you as a retail investor are going to say, oh, I want to own a property in the city.
Definitely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.